It's always good to have Roger do the introduction. He makes you feel so good and like I might have something good to say this evening. I want to thank the congregation for having the study, and I want to thank Smith and Roger for asking me to be a part of the study. I've been coming to this study. Alan Bonifay told you last night he'd been coming for a few more years than I have, but I've been here since 1971. That was the first year that I attended the study, and I've not missed very many during the years in between then and now. And it's always a great learning process, and it's a great time for camaraderie when you can sharpen your skills and your ability to evangelize, encourage one another. And I remember when I was, you know, like the age of some of these young men, the only difference was today they sit with electronic gadgets that have lots of books. And when Alan and I were coming at that age, why, we had stacks of books piled up on either side of us. We would come with our lexicons and our commentaries and our concordances, and we're constantly thumbing through them to find the reference material that we wanted for each talk that was being given. The Church of Christ has through the years been the subject of a lot of discussion by people in the religious world. And it's not generally favorable discussion. People in the religious world, whether we be talking about the mainline denominations or any other religious group that is out there, they view the Church of Christ differently than they view themselves or anyone else. And I'll share some personal stories with you just to give you an idea. Name-calling has always been a part of the things that we suffer. In the 19th century and in the early 20th century, people who were members of the Church of Christ were called Campbellites. My mother told me when she was 18 years old, there was a boy that she was interested in, and he was a member of the Church of Christ. And her mother, my grandmother, did not want her daughter to be married to a Campbellite. And the mother of the boy that was interested in my mother did not want her son marrying out of the church. The point was, though, my grandmother looked at people who were in the Church of Christ as being Campbellites. In 1965, Walter Martin wrote a book called The Kingdom of the Cults. Name-calling had started to shift a little bit and change. There had been lots of names for various religious groups up to that time. People would be called Millerites, or they would be called Russellites, but that grew out of fashion. And so folks started looking for something else to call religions that they disagreed with, or that they were suspicious of, or that they could not meet the arguments that were being given. And in 1969, I was a student at North Carolina State University, and Jim Duffesey, who was an open-air Campaign for Christ street preacher — that may not mean much to you, but it was and still is a viable organization, and Jim Duffesey was an interesting individual. I got to know him personally through my wife's parents, and he was preaching in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I was attending those services, and Ed Smiley, who eventually became my father-in-law, and Jim Duffesey dropped me off at the campus one evening after they had had an evening of services. And on the way home, Jim had said to Ed, he said, "Richard seems like a nice guy. What church does he go to?" And Ed said, oh, he's a member of the Church of Christ. And Jim said, oh, they are harder to convert than Catholics. And Marty was in the back seat of the car, and she says, what are you talking about? Richard's a Christian. And it just grew quiet. These men didn't want to say any more. Interestingly, their religion was, they would tell folks, we believe there's Christians in every faith. But then you'd mention the Church of Christ, it was, oh no, not those. Because we were different. And the things that we held to were different. In 1974, I was at the University of Missouri, and I had a class in sacred history. And the textbook that I had was talking about religious cults that were in Canaan and Mesopotamia and the Middle East and in the days of Abraham. And I was young. I was married, but I was young. And I went to the professor and I said, I take offense to this. I said, it refers to the religion of the Jews as being a cult. And he looked at me pitifully and he says, you don't even know what a cult is, do you? And it was just, he was brushing me off and letting me know that I hadn't done my homework and that I didn't have a very valid argument or reason to be in his office taking up his time. And I found out he was right. My subject this evening is the Church of Christ a cult? And this is a reasonable question that can be asked by people that are living in the society in which we are. It's one that any of us here might be asked if we're talking with someone and they say, where do you go to church? And you say, well, I go to the Church of Christ at Grapevine. And they say, is that a cult? We've heard that the Church of Christ is a cult. And so the answer to the question becomes somewhat difficult because of the complexity of what people mean when they ask the question, is the Church of Christ a cult? Are we a people that capture cats and take them out at midnight and offer them on a altar as a sacrifice to some deity? No, we are not that. Are we individuals that are guilty of entrapping people and brainwashing them and mistreating them, abusing them? Do we live in compounds that where we have guns and fences to protect ourselves? No, we're not that group of people. But the question comes back, though, are we a cult? And so you have to ask people, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by the question, are you a cult? Now, Merriam-Webster defines a cult this way. He says there's five definitions. He says, a cult is a religion regarded as unorthodox or spurious. Number two, he says, a cult is a great devotion to a person, an idea, an object, a movement, or work, such as a film or a book. For number three, he says, a cult is a system of religious beliefs and ritual, such as he talks of the cult of Apollo. Number four, he says, a cult is formal religious veneration or a worship group. Or number five, a cult is a system for the cure of disease based on dogma that is set forth by its promulgator. And he talks about health cults. Now, clearly, some of these definitions are not under consideration for us, but definitions, numbers 1, 3, and 4, would be under consideration. And so we ask ourselves, is the Church of Christ a cult? Well, from Merriam-Webster's point of view, every religion's a cult. Wouldn't matter if you're talking about the Church of Christ or if you're talking about the Southern Baptists. It wouldn't matter if you're talking about the Jehovah Witnesses or if you're talking about the United Methodist Church, because they all are religious movements or religious organizations or bodies. And so when we talk about cult, as my college professor had stated to me, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you don't know the meaning of the word cult. And these are the definitions that are found in Webster's Dictionary in regard to what is a cult. Now, when we start looking in the Bible, then we have to say, well, what does the Bible say about cults? So I started looking, and unfortunately, in the beloved King James Version of the Bible, the word cult doesn't even appear. And so I ask myself, am I talking about a Bible subject this evening? That is, if I can't find it in the Bible, then what am I supposed to be doing? I looked in the New King James Version of the Bible, and it's not found there either. I even looked in the New International Version of the Bible, and I couldn't find the word cult. Now, I did. I kept searching. I thought there must be some Bible translation that uses this word, since it's talking about religion. And it is found. It's found in the Amplified Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 10, where he says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, foretelling the future, speaking a new message from God to the people, and to another, discernment of spirits, that is the ability to distinguish sound, godly doctrine from the deceptive doctrine of man-made religions and cults. So there, it's only found one time, though, in the Amplified Bible. You go again to the Expanded Bible, and it's found there in Acts chapter 24 and in verse 14, where he makes the statement in regard to what we were in the Bible referred to the way. He says, in parentheses, that's a faction or a cult. The Living Bible, which is really not a Bible translation, but is simply a paraphrase of the Bible, we find the word cult is found in Acts chapter 6 and verse 9, when he's talking about the synagogue of the freedmen. Now, the expression cult prostitutes is found in several Old Testament passages in the following translations. If you don't know what all of those are, why, I'll tell you later, but there's a number of Old Testament Bibles that the translations where you have the expression cult prostitute. The King James, the New King James, would say shrine prostitutes. These were, of course, dealing with the religions of Baal and the false doctrine or the idolatrous worship that was going on in the land of Canaan in the days of the people of Israel. Now, unfortunately, none of this information helps my inquiry to is the Church of Christ a cult, nor does it help me to understand a whole lot about what the Bible is saying or teaching about what a cult is, so I could determine, is the Church of Christ a cult according to the Bible? Now, wanting to find a better understanding of what the religious world is thinking today, I decided to go to the internet and to see what is being spoken by people there. And there's a number, when you type in cults, you get all sorts of different hits that are there. And so I sorted out just by the places that seem to be the most legitimate as to, what do you folks say is a cult? And so I started looking. Now, Walter Martin's book can be found on the internet. I have that book in my library, the edition that came out in 1965. He wrote a book that was called The Kingdom of the Cults. And I remember reading that years ago, and I refreshed my mind on it here for this study just to see what he had to say. Basically, when you read that book, he gives a lot of information about some religious groups that he disagrees with, especially the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons. He has some information about the Seventh-day Adventists, and then there's some other religious groups that he mentions that are peripheral or smaller. But he talks about these groups at great length and shows why he disagrees with them and why he labels them as being a cult in the society in which we live. This book was touted for years as being the authoritative reference to recognizing and understanding what cults are. Now, it's been revised. In fact, its last revision, I think, was in 2003, in which more information has been given and more religious groups have been dealt with. Now, here are some points that are given that are meant to show what a cult is by reading the things that Walter Martin has written, and also by looking at two different websites that I've found. One is the website, let me see here. Do that. I get behind if I don't. We have this man right here at gotquestions.org, Michael Houdman. And he says, a cult is a group that teaches doctrines that, if believed, will cause a person to remain unsaved. He goes on and he makes this statement. He says, the two most common teachings of Christian cults are that Jesus was not God and that salvation is not by faith alone. Now, remember that. That's this man's definition of what a cult is. And, of course, I already talked about Walter Martin, but he makes this statement in his book. He says, a cult, as I define it, is any religious group which differs significantly in one or more respects as to the belief or practice from those religious groups which are regarded as normative expressions of religion. And then there's the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and he makes the statement in his website. He says, there are two ways to define a cult. The first way is to describe a cult is, let me turn my screen, that's small. He says, the cult is, in secular media, from this perspective, a cult is a religious or semi-religious sect whose members are controlled almost entirely by a single man or organization. And then he says, a cult is any group that deviates from the orthodox teachings of the historic Christian faith, being derived from the Bible and confirmed through ancient ecumenical councils. And one more thing that he says, and then I'll be done turning my back to you. He says, these groups deny or distort fundamental Christian doctrines such as the Trinity, the deity of Christ, and salvation by grace through faith alone. Some cults that would fall into this category are Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, The Way International, and the Unity School of Christianity. Now, these men say that one that does not believe in salvation by faith alone, you belong to a cult if you are in an organization that does not adhere to that. Now, I found this article in Christianity Today, and the article was What Makes a Cult, and he gave some points here that I thought I will base my remarks on then, and we'll sort of go through this. He says, first of all, what makes a cult is an all-knowing leadership. Now, when he talks about this, he says an individual or group of people claims to be sent by God to rule the one true religion, which only includes members of that particular cult. Now, I thought about this for a while, and Christianity Today, in their article, is going back, and they would include even religious groups such as the Mormons or the Jehovah Witnesses, who follow the teaching of men that are now dead, and yet they adhere to these groups. And because of the definition that is given by Christianity Today in this article, they claim that these groups are cults. But I thought about, well, what about the Church of Christ? Are we that way in any sense of the word? And I think, well, yes, it just, we go back a lot farther, because Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 14 and in verse 26, he says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he says, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And he says in chapter 16, verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." And then we have Acts 2:42 that says that when the church was established, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, we are taught, if you're here in a member of the Grapevine Church of Christ, you are taught that the apostles give us the authority for what we do in life, and that we will live and abide in the apostles' doctrine. It can't be anything else. It can't be by our feelings, our emotions, but it's going to be what we read in this book. And if Paul or Peter or John or Matthew or one of the apostles did not say it, then we don't go by it. We don't go by any other doctrine except that which has been given by the apostles. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say we now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed." John said in 2 John verse 9, chapter 1 verse 9, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God, and he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Now, within the Church of Christ, we believe that there have been a group of men that have been given the Word of God, and we must adhere to it. And if we don't adhere to it, we believe we'll be lost. And yet, these men that are writing today, even from Christianity Today, say that would constitute being a cult if you think that there's a group of men that have been trusted with all truth. We believe that. Okay, let's look at the next passage that I want to look at here, and that is the Christianity Today says that, I got behind here on this. No room for differences. Cult members, Christianity Today, and the article says, cult members must believe exactly the same way and in exactly the same things. There's no room for disagreeing with the cult's rules or doctrines. That is, if there's a religious organization that says that it's this way and it's only this way and everybody needs to believe the same thing, and if you don't believe the way that we're teaching, then you're not going to be a faithful member of this organization, of this group. Well, I read that and I thought, well, you know, the Bible teaches that we are to speak the same things and to believe the same things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, "I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And then we find this. Jesus, On the night that he was betrayed, he prays to God these words. He says, I do not pray for these alone, that is for the apostles alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. And again, we have that passage that I read to you earlier in Galatians chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, where Paul warned, if someone preaches something different than what you've received, he says, let that individual be accursed. Paul again said in Romans chapter 14 and in verse 1, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. So all of this, I consider the definition that is given by the modern people of today, saying this makes a cult, and I think, well, yeah, we believe that we have to speak the same thing. You know, just this week, I was in a conversation with someone that was telling about their family members. They go on a trip across the country, and they have some family members who are not members of the church, but they go with them to church when they're on vacations. And their relative said, in regard to the worship service that was miles and miles from here, this place teaches the same thing that they do in the congregation where you are in Grapevine. And she smiled and said, yes, that's right. And we do. We teach the same doctrine here that we teach in Missouri. We teach the same doctrine here that we do if you're in Penza, Russia. We teach the same doctrine here that if when I'm in Malawi, that it's the same. All across the world, we teach the same thing. And the reason is we take it from this book and nothing else. Our sermons aren't based on someone getting up here and saying, well, I had a conversation with the Lord this week and he laid it on my heart to share this with you. You don't hear words like that from this pulpit because we don't practice that. We practice, turn your Bibles if you will, and we'll name a book, chapter, and verse, and that's what's going to be taught. And if that makes a cult, then it seems to me that the Church of Christ may be labeled a cult by people today. The next point that was made is that cults often claim they've been given a special revelation from God that's superior to the Bible or explains what the Bible is trying to say. We don't do that. We don't do that. We can't be claimed or accused of doing that. We don't believe that there's anything revealed in this book but what every man on the face of this earth can understand it if he will simply read it. And that's different from a lot of what I call mainline denominational people today. In fact, they oftentimes refer to a special revelation, even though they will say, well, this is the word of God. But now that little expression or scenario I gave you about someone coming out and saying, God's laid it on my heart to share this with you today, that goes on all across this Dallas-Fort Worth area on Sunday. I'll guarantee you that it does. I can speak from experience. You know, some of you young people, you've grown up in the church. Your parents are members of the church, and you've never experienced anything else. That wasn't the case with me. I grew up in a denomination, and I know what is being taught in those religious bodies. I can still remember the sermons that were being given. And I recognize that there's a big difference in the style of teaching and what is being taught from this pulpit and what's going to be taught in some religious institution that is not very far away from here in any direction that you want to point. We do not claim to have any special revelation, but I'll guarantee you that on any given Sunday, there are a lot of men of the cloth that are going to stand up and tell their congregation that God has revealed something to them that particular week. Now, cults are often depicted as basic Christian doctrines and beliefs like the Trinity, the deity of Christ, salvation by grace through faith, as full of holes and completely illogical. That's from Christianity Today. The Church of Christ is not down on Christian doctrine. We never have been. We exalt it, we hold it high. But the denominational doctrines that are really the mere doctrines of men to which we do take issue with, they may have some problems with us, because we show that they are teaching things that are useless. They're teaching things that are worthless in life. Sometimes they're teaching things that are contrary to what's written in this book right here, absolutely refuting what is within the scriptures. We're down on that, but we're not down on the Christian faith. We uphold the Christian faith. So that point right there doesn't make us a cult, but in the eyes of the person that is asking the question or making the accusation, they would say, oh, but you are, because we disagree with their doctrine. And so they think that we are down on the Christian faith. We're not. We have the next point that is given in this article was that the scriptures get an added twist. The article said Bible verses are often taken out of context or twisted to mean something very different than what was originally intended. I think this is hypocritical by the individual that wrote the article. In fact, everyone that would make this accusation towards the Church of Christ or anyone, this is a hypocritical statement, because we take the Bible and we say, look, here's what the Bible says. For example, Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. I cannot tell you how many hundreds of times in life since I've been preaching, I will read this verse to someone and they will say to me, but the Bible doesn't say he who is not baptized will be lost. It's hypocritical for them to say that we twist the scriptures to mean something that they do not. They are the ones that are twisting the scriptures. The next point that was made is Christians are wrong. Cult members believe that God's given their group the job of pointing out heretical and evil teachings of Christianity Today. Well, you know, I thought about this for a while before I decided what I would say, but, you know, John said in 1 John chapter 4, he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, if that was true in the first century, we're deceiving ourselves if we think there are not false prophets that are out in the world. There are. There's people that are not teaching the truth. And the denominational world that says, and they do, they say, everybody's, you know, going to go to heaven. You can go to heaven if you're in the Baptist church or the Methodist church, the Presbyterian church. It really doesn't matter. Just so you're sincere in what you're doing, you're going to make heaven your home. Is there any false doctrine? Do these groups believe there is false doctrine today? And if so, how do you identify it? When I lived in West Virginia, I did a lot of funerals. I was the man the funeral home would call if no one else wanted to do the funeral. And there was another preacher that did a lot of funerals, and he was from another little country church that was out on Bunner's Ridge, and it was a little Methodist church. And the two of us, our paths crossed quite often, and because we're talking about a funeral a week anyway, it seemed to me I was doing, and I would see him, he would be doing funerals. And I would always read the obituary. I'd been doing that even before I got to be old. You know, look to see who's died, because that was just a way of life for us. But there was a lady that died in the community that had never darkened a church door in her life. I knew she hadn't because she was a relative of mine. And I read her obituary, and it said that she was a member of this other church. And I thought, really? And so I went to the funeral home. She was my relative, and I'm there. And, of course, when we go into a funeral home, we would just sit down and visit for the evening or whatever, for an hour or so, visit with all the people that come through. And I'm talking with the preacher, and I said to him, I said, I didn't realize that this woman was a member of your church. And he says, oh, yes. He says, I visited her while she was sick, and she gave her life to Jesus. And I was just maybe being ornery, I suppose. I said, do you ever preach a funeral of someone that's lost? And he said, well, I don't think I ever have. I said, it's really strange, isn't it? You get all the people that are saved, and Jesus said there's few that will be saved, and you seem to get them all. And he looked at me and he said, well, he says, We look at this differently, don't we? I said, well, I guess we do. I said, I don't cast judgment on people, but I said, I do have in my heart of hearts at times, I have these, you know, this feeling about, you know, what the future holds for some people. But I said, you always have people going to heaven. And it's sort of this idea here, it's part of this. You know, He believes that, you know, I think that some people are heretics, but he doesn't think anyone is. But Paul said in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 and 18, he says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, who would be the ones that would be authorized to point out those that are heretical and evil teachers? Paul names men in his day. Is it wrong for us to point out false teaching? People that are of the religious world today, evangelicals or denominational people, they're hypocrites because they point their fingers at certain groups and say they are cults. You need to avoid them. And yet they would say that we are wrong for pointing out doctrines that they preach and say those doctrines are not biblical. They're false doctrine. So the next point that is given by the article that was in Christianity Today is, they say, cult members often claim their good works are superior to those performed by Christians, and they say their works prove their religion is the one and only truth. Well, nobody in the Church of Christ believes that we're saved by works. You know, I've never met anyone that believes that. No one, you know, teaches that. It's not taught. That's a false idea that some would say that we teach that. But the book of James seems to teach us that works do enter into, you know, the lives that we're living, and they seem to show or prove our faith in regard to whether or not we're serving the Lord. James says in James chapter 2, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, if you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without your works. and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know? Do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was made perfect and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God? You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. The only place in the Bible that we have this expression, faith only. And in this passage, he says we're justified by works and not by faith only. Yet, in the beginning, I mentioned those men that said you can recognize a cult if it teaches that you're not saved by faith only. James would be a cult leader according to these men. Okay, let me see. What else do I have I want to say? Jesus says in regard to the where'd I go? Let's go to this point. Cult members, I'm still from the Christianity Today article. Cults often teach that salvation is based on performance. Cult members can never know if they've done everything necessary to get to heaven. That wouldn't apply to us. We do know. We do know that if we are faithful to God, that he will give us a home in heaven. And we know that if we sin and we persist in sin, that we will be lost. But we believe, we have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if we serve him and are faithful to him, then we have the peace and assurance that heaven is our home. You know, when I attend a funeral of somebody that's a member of the Church of Christ, people there are generally feeling pretty good. They're sad, but they have this hope, and that's different from people that are out in the world today. And then cult members, leaving a cult is not an option. And of course we see that from some of the extreme religious groups that there are today. If you try to get out of Scientology or you try to get out of some of the other religious groups, why, there's intimidation and there's other things that are done trying to keep people from leaving the group that they're in. We don't do that. We do tell people that if they leave, that there's no place else to go, that they're walking away from Jesus Christ, but the door's always open for them to come back, and we don't keep the door closed to prevent them from going out. If someone leaves the church, we go and we try to find them and say, what's the problem? You know, how can we help you? Why is your faith weak? But we don't harass people. We don't drag them in. But the fact is that out of the points that we're given right here, Christianity Today, The Bible Answer Man, gotquestions.org, and yes, even Walter Martin's book is going to claim that the Church of Christ is a cult. So if we take the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of what is a cult, he says it's any religion. If we take the modern definitions that are being given by folks that see a cult around every corner, the Church of Christ is a cult, according to what they say. Calling people by names never accomplishes anything. This afternoon when Clint was speaking, he said, you know, name calling only tends to inflame people's passions, and we use terms sometimes that we shouldn't use, sectarian, denominational, when we're talking to people that are differing from us. We label ourselves at times. You know, I'll go someplace, somebody say, oh, you're a one-cupper. And I'm thinking, that's really not the way to address your brother in Christ. But we use names. We use names, others use names. And people that are afraid of the doctrine of the Church of Christ, that are out in other religious bodies, they say, you're a cult. And I simply say, what do you mean by that? And let's go from there. Okay, those are my remarks, and I'm ready for some questions. If you didn't understand, my answer is yes to the question.